quality of Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in New York.
Hey, it's right, Loveline. Drew? Where's Adam? I'm Drew.
That's right.
Adam, you there?
Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
That's really interesting.
Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. All right, I'm not sure if Drew can hear me yet. He's in New York promoting his book. And speaking of book promotion, Christy Canyon is in the studio tonight. Her new book is Lights, Camera, Sex. It's a autobiography. autobiography by yeah, Christy Canyon. You wrote this book?
I wrote it myself.
Hold on a second, Drew.
I'm here.
What's happening there, buddy?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I couldn't hear you for a while. How's it going?
All right. We good?
I'm
Drew,
good.
I haven't seen you in, God, what, about 6 years?
At least. How you been?
I think I've been very well. I think the last time I saw you was in when you guys had a studio in Burbank.
Burbank, which was actually 8 or 9 years ago.
God, has it been that long? And I was there with Ginger Lynn.
Yeah, it's been, that's before my time, right? So, I mean, it's been 9 years plus. Because, you know, Drew, I think we moved to Westwood One just about 9 years ago, just somewhere in the next few weeks.
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right. Because that's when you started.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh,
I would kill myself then if I knew I was still going to be here. But the only salvation is that Christy Canyon has made her a triumphant return to the Loveline Studios.
Yeah.
9 years you made me wait.
Has it been that long? That's amazing.
He wait a minute. He has gloated about you as long as I've known him, Christy. He went to high school together. Then the stories got a little more involved.
Actually, junior high school, we've known each other since.
God.
That's right. Her sister asked me to the Sadie Hawkins dance.
My question is, was he as much of a loser as he makes himself out to be?
Honestly.
Come on.
No, I was. I asked Christy out when I was like
that's what I'm talking about.
Or something like
that. You turned him down, right?
She turned me down like three times. Yes, I did. See, it doesn't register. It doesn't register in your mind as turning me down. But
yeah,
I remember washing my car. True. True. You know that I'm going out on a date tonight, car wash?
Yeah. Yours was a truck, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I gave it that wash. I gave it that I'm going out tonight wash.
And then you called back to... Well, you called to check her what time to pick her up. She's like, What?
No, we never quite got that far. But I did. I did ask you out. I'm a couple years older than you.
I remember. I think.
And I was probably 19. Maybe you were 17.
Oh, and you had that illustrious career in carpet cleaning by that point. She must be very impressed.
Ladies love a man. When they see that carpet, wand, or they get the smell of a soil bust carpet cleaner concentrate on you, it's an aphrodisiac.
And then that car with the bench seats, right? I think you had stools even in your car.
All right,
you?
They're bar stools, but just quiet down. Here's the point. I was on to Christy early. I mean, Christy, always a great rack on Christy, and I'm Drew.
Yes,
who's a bigger boob man than me?
Nobody.
Thank you.
So you didn't Minka's want me to
husband.
My mind, which is good because I think I failed.
Well, I just remember, I mean, you were just, I don't know what happened. We're in the same neighborhood. I was a couple years older than you. We went to the same junior high, but then we didn't go to the same high school.
No, because I went to a private school for high school.
And then, but then we had some of the same friends.
Yeah.
So after high school, I would see... I keep wanting to call her by her her God-given name, Christy. It's not far from Christy, so it may come flying out at some point. But now, do you mind if people know your real first name?
You know, I never used to, but then I actually had problems with people that found out my real name.
Uh-oh.
And
what happened?
They'd start writing me at home.
Oh, really? Well, they'd find out your last name. And I wouldn't yell your last name out.
So I just... you know, that kind of freaked me out, like they took it seriously or something.
Yeah, well, how? Okay, so, but now here's the thing. Now, Drew always says, and we actually always say, that the women involved with the adult industry is all sorts of wholesale abuse and sexual abuse and physical abuse and all that stuff. But yet, your family seemed, well, I don't know what your family was like, but you didn't grow up on the wrong side of the track, so to speak.
No, we grew up in the hills and... I was never abused. I was never hit. I was never spanked. I am a product of several divorces and remarriages and the stepbrothers and stepsisters. But who isn't in Los Angeles, it seems? I mean, a lot of people are. So I certainly don't think that I got in the business because of that. I think it was just circumstances. I rebelled against, I think, one too many marriages. And I moved out when I was 17 and a half and I met somebody in the business. And I couldn't go home, really. I could have, but I couldn't. I don't know. It was just one of those times in my life. And I just totally rebelled and got into the adult business.
Well, so how... Now, you did a... because you didn't have a long career doing, like, magazines or anything before you got into the adult business, did you? Or you had a little one?
Drew,
I'm telling you, when we found out that Christy had a movie out, it was a Chinese fire drill in my apartment. I was living... In a one-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood with Chris Boehm and Don Mizrahi and a few guys like that. And was like,
I'm sure it was like one of those scenes where the phone call came through and the next thing is the phone hanging there swinging.
The door open, you heard the car peeling out. Yeah, it was like, oh my God, she's in a movie. And I thought, finally we're going to have that date. That was my thought. 2.5 years later, but I was going to get that date.
And I was such a prude in high school. For me to get into it was a shock.
That's what made it so much better.
But I think what we did say is that what we do find it, though, and in my experience, is that a lot of people that get into that young adulthood have some kind of trauma they're trying to manage, something.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah,
I think everyone that walks through that world has some form of a chip on their shoulder.
I think of it as trauma. I think the trauma sort of lowers your perception of the boundaries to entering into that world, and it makes it actually feel good to need that kind of power and to sort of use sexuality in that way. It's a biological state you're in because of managing trauma.
Speaking of quiet down there, Drew, I'm losing my chub.
Yeah, I know.
Speaking of trauma.
Yeah, this just shows for more than just the two of you. I'm sorry to tell you.
Quiet down.
We include a few other people in the program.
The two of me, meaning me and my balls, or me and Christy?
You and the balls, Christy. Four of them.
First appearance was in a scene with Ron Jeremy.
Yes.
Trauma.
That's trauma right
that's
there.
That's the
kept
first
going.
On-camera scene you had was with Ron Jeremy?
Yes.
Wow.
But I have to say, I adore Ron Jeremy.
Oh, he's a delight.
He's funny. He makes me laugh all the time.
Especially when you see him naked.
Oh, that day I wasn't laughing. I was so scared.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, it seems like baptism by fire, having Ron Jeremy there. I mean, I guess he's a pro in everything. I don't know. Were you glad that was the first guy you were with?
I don't think it mattered who the first guy was that I was with. I was petrified. I was like, if I ever look back on that scene, I bet it looks like somebody had a gun to my head.
No,
I
mean, it looks great. Looks
so
great.
Yeah, is that the one you guys ran out to get?
Probably.
She was a dead fish.
What was the name of that movie? Do you remember?
It wasn't a movie. It was a compilation for a company that I don't even know if is still around, Caballero. Swedish Erotica line. I think it was Swedish Erotica number 57.
Hold on. Writing that down.
You'll
57.
I think that was only on Betamax. That was so long ago.
There was a place in like deep North Hollywood, and it was like a little Chinese-run videotape outlet that was like, I don't know if they were like Vietnamese, and we all ran in there like the Keystone Cops, and we're trying to communicate frantically with them. I had to grab the guy by the collar and shake him around, sweat pouring down my brow. But we got this movie, and then we all ran back to...
movie was it?
I don't know. It must have been your first movie or your second movie.
It
was
so funny.
That was the best day of my life.
I was on a set in, I think it was 1984, 1985 at some house.
Well, now, wait. What year was your first movie? I'm going to do some research here because I got work to do when I get home. Shush up.
Was the end of 1984.
84. So call it November?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to write that down. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry. So you did your first movie. You did your first scene with Ron Jeremy. You were scared to death.
Yes.
But why'd you go do another one? Was there a thrill involved with
it? You apparently haven't read my book.
Mm-mm.
Oh, and I sent it to you two weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yes, I did.
First I'd seen it. I was wondering why you wrote in it. All right. I didn't get. No one gave it to me.
But tell me, I'm interested.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
It was the kind of thing that after the first one, I was kind of tricked into it. And when I called the agent and said, you know, hey, this is a loop. You know, I thought it was a magazine layout, and he said, no, it's a loop. I told you it was a loop. But like at 18, I didn't know what a loop was. I didn't know if it was like a new camera. I had no idea.
That was the first. One you did with Ron Jeremy.
Yes.
You thought you were doing a photo spread.
Yes.
And you thought you were going to be with a guy in the photo spread, but you didn't know it was going to be film?
I had no idea it was going to be film. I really was kind of
You should have let me manage you back then.
Yeah.
Could have really gone places.
Yeah, you would have made about $5 a day. So then I said, well, I don't want to do anymore. And the agent said, well, you know, I booked you on another one that you have to do because you gave an oral con. You know, you verbally agreed to it. Da-da. And I'm not saying anything against the agent because, you know, what happened happened. And I think he's a really nice guy, actually. It's just it was one of those weird times in my life. And I didn't think that I had anywhere to go. So I did the second film like 2 days later. And it was a whole different vibe. It was with Ginger Lynn and Peter North, and Tracy Lords was on that set. It was just like a whole different vibe. And, you know, I think I just knew I had to do it.
Oh, what was the name of that movie?
That you can't get it because Tracy was in it. It was called Night of Loving Dangerously.
I'm going to write it down anyway.
Tracy pulled over film? Or was that because she was underage? Or?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, underage.
I know the history there. She was underage. Okay.
Don't worry. I'll go fast forward right through her.
15.
Oh, boy.
I don't know.
Yeah, all right. Night of Loving Dangerously. Got to find that.
Now, in Tracy's book, she chronicles a lot of this. Tracy went through a lot of trauma. Big time. Is that okay? Do you explore any of that in your book?
I do, but not like hers.
I understand it wasn't as vivid as hers, but the frustrations of all the step families and the moving and the marriages and what that does
to you. Yeah, but I don't. I read her book. Somebody gave me one of the promo copies.
Uh-huh.
Our books are very different. I don't blame anybody for the choices that I made. I take absolute full responsibility for what I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that that's where they differ a little bit. I've made total peace with my history, and I actually like it. I've enjoyed my time in the business. I came back in 1989. So I found the business personally, I mean, after all the, you know, head stuff where, oh my God, what did I do? It's on film. Oh, who cares? No one's going to see it. I mean, I've gone through therapy and I've really just made peace with my life. And I actually look back and I embrace it. And I think it's made me who I am today, which I absolutely love. So obviously it was something right.
And it's all chronicled in the book, Lights, Camera, Sex, which is out.
Yes.
A couple of weeks ago, actually. I just didn't. Producer Ann never gave me the book. You know? Believe me, I would have brought this one home.
Let's take a call, Adam. How about that?
How about that, Drew?
Oh, that's a good idea. Here's Veronica, 24. Veronica. Veronica?
Hello?
What's happening?
Hello?
Hello?
Sorry, I can barely hear you guys.
Okay. Drew, you're a little faint.
Okay, we'll work on that.
All right. Go ahead, Veronica.
Okay, hi. First of all, Adam, I adore you immensely. And
thanks.
One day would love to make sweet love to you as you scream and yell in Native American chants.
Oh. Well, that ship already sailed for Christy. She had her chance in 1983.
Well, she didn't know about the
obviously,
sweet
she didn't
the
know.
Melodious she, tunes you can produce in North
she
American
didn't
Indian.
Know what the future held for the Ace Man.
Oh, no doubt.
And you didn't know what held for my future.
I know. What? Go ahead, Veronica.
Okay, well, actually, I have two questions. My first question, and this is probably why you won't make sweet love to me anymore, is I'm very positive I have crabs, and I want to know how I can treat it and get it rid of.
Have you been checked to see if you have crabs?
Actually, I went to a gynecologist, and he couldn't check me out because my period was coming too soon.
Veronica?
Yes? Sorry.
The location of crabs has nothing to do with where you have your period.
Okay.
Crabs occur on the abdomen and the legs.
Okay.
They do?
Didn't you tell them?
They're on the pubes, right?
In the pubic area and the thighs, but they're not in the vagina.
Right.
Okay.
Well, why do you think you have crabs?
You see, you should be. If you think, if you're convinced you have them, that means you see them moving about your abdomen there.
Yeah, because when you know I go to the bathroom, I see every now and then like a thing or two moving about, and
in your hair, in the pubic hair.
Yeah, and I know the guy that I was sleeping with about like three, four weeks ago. He called me today, and he said he has it too.
All right. Well, then you got crabs.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, I just want to know how I can treat it.
Just call. It's a prescription medication for you. It's a lotion you put on it. You can call your doctor. They'll sure give it to you over the phone. It's not a big deal.
Let me tell you something. True. Really? Yeah. Prescription for the crab shampoo?
There's something called RID you can use over the counter. It's an A200, I think it's called. But those aren't as effective as the over-the-counter medication. So, as a prescription medication.
I got to go insane here for a second. Why? Why? Mm-hmm. Why is that prescription? Really? I mean, and you know what it does? Is it probably proliferates the crabs because...
Of course it does. Of course. Listen, how about proliferates crabs? How about not having the morning after pill available to everybody? Think about what that proliferates.
Ooh, true. You go, girl. Yeah. No, I mean, because people are humiliated. They don't want to go see their doctor and talk to the pharmacist have that old guy give them the stink eye from across the counter.
But I think she needs a new gynecologist regardless.
I kind of agree with you. Do you feel like you can communicate with your...
You know, it was...
How about the Orkin man?
It was... I was trading, or I was changing insurance companies, and it was the first time I saw him.
All right.
And he kind of said, no, thank you.
I think it's time to get a new doctor and a new boyfriend, maybe.
Yeah, well, that one's over with.
Hey, and you got to wash everything.
Yeah, I do. I do, believe me.
Yeah, I never had crabs.
The bedclothes, the sheets,
I had a friend
the towels.
That did. And everything. They won't die for anything. You pull one off, they'll swim around. I put ammonia on a crab once. It swam right out of my ammonia bubble. I dumped a cap of ammonia right on it. Went right out. And ammonia kills everything.
Except for crabs.
Except crabs. This is
my balls are itching now.
Philip 17. Oh. That's not why they're tingling.
All right. But Philip really, the crab shampoo can't be over the counter? What are kids going to do? Start drinking it? Hey, man, did you get the crab shampoo? Yeah, come on. Let's go.
Well, they're going to make Drano prescription because people might drink that too.
I don't understand. I mean, maybe it's some form of poison to the crabs, but can't you go get a gallon of gas or a car?
Oh, it's just all about money.
Yeah,
I think, for the medical.
Or something. I blame the lawyer.
It's
somehow.
Not because you got to remember, Christy. Doctors get paid for not seeing patients now. The way in the HMO world,
horrible.
you have to not see patients.
Drew, when you get back here, see if we can get crab medication made over the counter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not as quite as passionate about that as I am about the morning after pill, but I'll
do both. Do both.
Okay. All right. Philip, 17. Why are we having this delay here? Philip.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know why?
Hearing
Drew? Because, no, here's why. When you travel, people punish you. Do you understand that?
Okay.
He can hear you fine. He's just punishing you for being out of the studio.
They're channeling your feelings.
All right. Well, how old is Philip?
17.
What's up, Philip?
Hey, what's up, Adam? Hey, okay, I got a question, all right? My girlfriend, she says she's going to medical school, but it's really like a school for medical assistants. But she's got this teacher, and teacher told her about a month ago that when girls swallow, they can get an infection in their neck. From the semen, like getting on the lining of their throat.
Yeah, no, they can get an STD, but they can get a sexually transmitted disease just from putting the penis in their mouth.
I'm clean because I've been to the doctor and everything, and I know she is too. But
all right, but listen, that may or may not be true, but she can get infection from having a penis in her mouth, and it can be worse from swallowing. There are more things you can get that way. That's what she's worried about. And whether or not you have or don't have, she's not willing to believe you, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Why? She doesn't want to do that for you?
Don't you want to wait till you're married?
Huh? Yeah, listen to Christy.
I mean, she
Here she
but...
says, not as she does. What's
well,
that?
I mean, she doesn't anymore. She's scared.
She doesn't give you oral sex anymore?
Well, she does that, but she won't swallow.
Oh. Okay, you're 17. Cry me a river.
Yeah, I know.
Breaking my heart, you punk. Get rid of this kid.
She just come up with an excuse not to do that, really. Angela, 19.
I didn't even know anything came out of your penis until I was 25.
Hello?
Hi, Angela.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh.
Angela.
What's up, Angela?
Nothing. I just have some problems.
Hold on a second, Drew. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
I've been running the computer screen here for the last few days when you've been gone with no problem.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just go back to doing that.
That's fine.
Yeah. I think that's the way to go.
Because I can't put, for some reason, I can't put people on hold from my end.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll get it back to my end.
All right.
I don't know if that's possible, but we'll give that a try. Who's on, Angela?
Yeah.
Yes.
What's up, Angela?
Well, I'm 19 years old. My fiance's 32. Mm-mm. And the first couple of weeks, months we were together, you know, everything was great sexually. And it's been here recently, like, I have a hard time getting anything out of him.
I'm not sure I understand this.
Can't get anything out of him sexually?
Yeah.
You've only been with him a couple of months?
No, I've been with him for a while, like
how
a few
long?
Years.
A few years. And how
like
old were you?
3 years.
You were 16, and he
was... Yeah, I was 16 when I met him, but, well, I've known him for 3 years, but we've been together for a year.
You were 18, and he was 31.
Hold on. By the way, that's the revised story he had to pound into her head by whacking her with a cider jug with the X's on it.
Yeah.
Threatening to spank her with his banjo.
Right.
He had to keep... See, she keeps screwing up and saying we met when we were 16, and he keeps having to scream at her. We knew each other for 2 years, and then you turn 18, and then we began our official relationship. You got that? Yeah.
I mean, like,
please, who are you talking to? When your goofball
like,
friends?
Huh?
Okay.
No,
please.
She's not following.
You guys aren't having any kids, are you?
No, I have a kid by somebody else.
Oh, my God.
I've known him for that long, and then about a year ago, we decided to get together. Like, we've been good friends.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so where's the father of your child?
I don't know. He lives across town but refuses to have anything to do with my child.
All right. Wow. So he's a bad person.
Yes,
right?
I do believe so.
What's the hurry with getting married to this 32-year-old?
But that's not the problem. The problem is I can't get pleased sexually, and it's trying to really bother me.
Well, maybe this is God trying to prevent you from having another kid.
And getting married again, or married at all.
Well,
what's the hurry in getting married?
I'm on birth control, and he uses protection.
All right.
Am I not getting through? Can you not hear me?
Well, hold on a second. Put her on hold. Can you put her on hold?
No.
All right, let me explain. Well, here's the other beauty of people that aren't as sharp as other people. They're almost like animals. You can talk right in front of them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Normally it's considered rude to say horrible things in front of people, but if they don't really understand what's going on. So we can have this conversation right now in front of Angela, even though Angela's listening. But that's that same mutant part of her brain is the same part that doesn't understand whatever you're saying to her.
Yeah, can't track.
I'm not even from Texas.
Okay, see, there you go.
Texas.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, Angela, let me talk to you.
All right.
Okay. Are you planning on getting married to this guy?
Yes, March 4th.
March 4th. I'm going to mark that in my calendar so I can be out of the country. And why are you going to get married to this guy?
Because I love him with all my heart.
Okay.
My daughter, he will tell everybody in the room or wherever he goes that that's his daughter. Her real father doesn't even exist.
All right,
and
that's
he treats
good.
Me good.
He's delusional, right?
Huh?
Yes.
Keep going.
Our relationship is great. It's just, you know, the sex area. You know, I want to have sex all the time, and it's every few days between with him.
So what do you say? Hey, Angela, do you think, quiet down, do you think it's like 3 times a week you guys have sex?
Yeah, about like that.
Okay, that's right. That's above normal.
He's
above
32.
Average.
That's
going to be his pace. That's going to be his pace.
Well, actually, it's going to slow. It's going to drop off a little bit.
I know, but that's the best you're going to get from him at 32, probably.
But what do I do?
That means he's very into you. Angela, you're not, look, I can't stand this. I can't talk. Somebody else please put Angela on hold. I can't stand it. I want her to hear what we talk about here.
Why?
Can you guys do that at your end?
Who, me?
There we go.
Let me try mashing my hand into the keyboard.
Listen. Angela is 19. She has no business getting married. This is an absurd situation. She is sexually compulsive and possibly sexually addicted. She already has a child. This is a total meltdown mess. This is not a situation for a marriage to be occurring.
What? She loves this guy. The guy calls the kid his own.
She is not in a position to be making adult decisions. Did you not pick that up?
Yeah, she's not going to be in a position to make adult decisions when she's in her 40s.
Well,
so
at
who
least
cares?
In her 30s, maybe we'll get somewhere with her.
All right. Well,
but now this
is that going to do anything? She's going to marry this guy. So she marries him and doesn't get as much penis as she wants. Who cares?
But
meanwhile,
she's
on birth control and he hangs out and raises the kid. She
has to deal with being a mother. She has plenty of a reasonable sexual relationship with this guy, but is sabotaging it because it can't be something extreme. And she's blaming him for not being able to keep up with her. Just not a good situation.
All right. Well, but let me tell you, Drew, it takes all kinds.
And listen.
Let me explain something with the parenting. Not everyone is as into it as you are. You know what I mean? For many,
yeah,
it's a hobby. It's not a hobby. Not a full-time gig. Yeah. You're too into parenting. Hey, Chris, do you have any kids?
No, I don't.
Good. I don't like to think about that. All right.
But I want them.
You do?
Yeah.
All right. I don't want to think about that. Lights, Camera, Sex is the name of the book. Christy Canyon is in studio tonight. We're late for a break, but how many movies have you made? Do you know?
I don't. Maybe 50 or 60? I don't even know.
Not as prolific as some of the gals, but certainly up there in terms of well-known, wouldn't you say?
I would.
Thank you. All right, Dr. Drew is in New York, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew, who's in New York, plugging his book.
You didn't mention what I was doing here in New York.
Yeah, I thought you were in Toronto doing the Olsen twins, not the...
No.
He's doing a movie with the Olsen twins. It's surreal.
Are you really?
Yes, and I'm playing their dad.
Oh, I hear that they're just such nice girls.
They are very nice. They're very sweet.
I can't believe you guys don't hang out.
The Olsen twins?
Yeah,
and
seems
me.
Like you guys would run with the same crowd. Drew, did you find that peculiar, Drew? Ginger probably introduced you to him or something.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe Ron.
Ron knows everyone.
Yeah, he gets around.
He does.
Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Would you shut up, Drew?
Hey, see, I'm all screwed up because I'm not controlling the board.
All right, well, stop talking when you're screwed up then, would you?
Yeah.
Thank you. Christy Canyon is in studio tonight. Lights, Camera, Sex is the name of her book. And Christy's the number one adult film star in the hearts of many Americans, and certainly this broadcaster. Thank you.
Only because you knew me
before. Yeah, no, I know. But look, everybody should have some girl who they were really hot for get into the adult film industry for that rush of running to the video store the day you found out a movie with her in it came out.
Yeah,
I mean, that is a feeling I can't explain to anyone.
And yet, about 8 months ago, Grant and I were at a sushi restaurant in Studio City.
Mm-hmm.
He walked right by me. Didn't even notice me.
Who, me?
Uh-huh.
8 months ago?
Yeah.
Who was I with?
I don't know.
I was with my wife.
He was with his wife, though.
I had to be looking down.
To pretend. Yeah.
My wife says when we walk through there, I have to look at my feet.
Yeah.
I can't put my head up. Yeah. Maybe
I
was.
You were looking around. You just walked right on over me.
I don't know. Maybe I didn't recognize.
Payback from 1983.
I didn't recognize you with your clothes on.
Oh. You knew me long before the clothes came off.
Oh, man. I was so smart. I saw this diamond in the rough so many years ago. What a package. All right, Drew, where do you want to go? Line one? Did you want
line
to go?
Line two. Line two.
Okay. Now, do you have your screen up in New York, or
do I have it now?
No,
you have it. You're controlling it, but I can see it.
All right. Well, this is the way we should do it then. Janet?
Yes?
You're 16?
Actually, it's Jeanette.
Oh, wait a minute. Wants to ask Drew about his book.
Oh, no.
I better put her on hold.
Why?
No. Come on, Drew. We got to help the kids, not steal the book. Come on, buddy.
Read the rest of that screen.
Wants to ask Drew about the book. To see if
no,
she
read
can line his
screen.
Pockets with money. How it relates to her dad. All right. You
what
talk
is the
me
book
into
called?
It, it's
Cracked.
Called Cracked.
It's about my experience treating a lot of drug addicts.
Very interesting.
They tell me it's good. Janet?
Yes?
Janet.
All right.
Okay, my dad.
Now I'm putting her back on hold again.
Why now?
I corrected you. She didn't.
Drew corrected me.
She's only 16.
All right, we're going to try one more time. Is there a difference between Janet and Jeanette?
Okay, sorry.
All right, go ahead.
The spelling's different, yeah.
Shut up.
Okay. My dad is an alcoholic, and I was wondering if Drew's whole theory of that addicts go their whole life without ever connecting with people.
Where's my bourbon?
If that applies with my dad.
Well, I didn't say they don't. That's not specific what I'm saying in the book. I'm saying they have trouble trusting, and as such, have trouble connecting with people in ways that help them regulate their emotional lives. So they can't have deep and intimate relationships many times because of trauma. And people with alcoholism is slightly different. You notice in that book, I don't talk a lot about alcoholics.
Right.
Because sometimes that disease evolves without trauma and just slowly develops a biological rhythm that intensifies with time, and all of a sudden, pow, at the age of 50 or 60, it's game on.
Mm-hmm.
The switch sort of gets thrown.
Did Janet read the book?
Well, I'm like halfway through.
Wow. Through. Yeah, moving copies.
Good. Yeah, it's really great. I'm learning a lot from it.
Oh, good.
Why don't you get the Chrissy Canyon book, too, and learn something.
To deal with.
if her dad had a choice, which he would read, I'm sure it would not be mine. But be that as it may, he is an alcoholic and he doesn't want to get treatment? Is that what you're...
No, he doesn't.
And you know he's an alcoholic.
Right. Well, he is, but he doesn't sound like he's as bad as the people... who need treatment, like the people in your book, you know?
That's right. And I took some sort of extreme examples to make points about the disease and how it works.
Oh.
And sort of, and also to sort of, that's sort of more dramatic, too, you know, for the purposes of a story like
right.
that. But the same principles apply in all situations. And maybe if you give it to him, sometimes it plant a seed of, you know, what it is he needs to do. And more importantly, how it affects, how his disease affects people that are important to him.
All right. All but right? Good times, though, right, Drew?
Absolutely good times, yeah.
All right. Let's,
now you pick. Do you want me to pick?
No, I got it. Let's talk to Ellen, who's 14. Her mom caught her smoking pot.
That's what I wanted to pick.
Pulled her out of school. Great minds, Drew.
Yeah.
Me and Christy Canyon. Great minds. We think alike. Ellen?
Yeah?
What's up? You're 14.
Okay. My mom caught me smoking pot a while back, so she decided to keep a closer eye on me. Mm-hmm. And then Monday, I got home from school late. And she heard that I walked home with my friend Melissa, who had introduced me to it.
Introduced you to marijuana?
What?
Introduced you to marijuana?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, and then she wanted to take me out of school, and I thought that she was overreacting.
Well, Ellen, it's hard for us to know whether it's an overreaction or not, because we're hearing your side of the story, and it sounds sort of excessive, but... I bet if we talked to your mom, she would have a whole... Sure.
Yeah, okay. Not really, but what the hell? Keep in mind, everybody...
That's nice, Ellen. Well, thank you.
Hold on a second.
Hi.
Hold on. Keep in mind, everybody, when we say, you know, I bet if we spoke to your principal or your priest, we don't really want to talk to them. We're just hypothesizing in the hopes that we'll never actually speak to that person. But Ellen has called our bluff. All right, Ellen's mom...
Yes, I am Ellen's mom.
What's your name?
My name's Kelly.
Kelly, what I just finished saying was, I bet if we spoke to you, we'd have a whole different sort of story of
right.
things
well,
you were concerned with.
Right, well, she did. Literally, I'm sitting right here.
Which is
and
nice.
And the reason I had her call, I actually had her call, because I've listened to your show several times, and sometimes people at this age don't listen to their parents so much.
Of course. That's
but
their
she
job.
Not to you guys. She thinks you guys are really smart. So.
Well, Drew's Squaresville.
Well, you know, so that must mean
he's
really
the kids
smart.
Say. Yeah,
and
okay.
I think you guys are pretty smart. So.
No, right, thanks,
it's just
Ellen.
Like, you guys seem like teenagers.
Yeah.
Your voices are like old.
but Kelly, are you still with us? Okay.
Hello?
What's been going on with her? Obviously,
you know,
it's not just the pot.
I found out recently that she had, she had gotten into some of my liquor. So, and that led
to... Is her dad an alcoholic?
What?
Is her dad an alcoholic, her biological dad?
Her biological father... would have tendencies towards that. She's half Ute Indian.
Okay. Oh, so, yeah.
We haven't seen him since she was 8 months old.
All right, so she probably almost, you know, particularly the central North American Indians, the probability of inheriting this gene is very, very high.
Right, 97% have not taken the gene for alcoholism out. I mean, you know, there's a 97% rate, I think, of having that gene still.
Yeah, so she's got the ism. She's got it going. And
right,
you know, every,
she's got the ism.
Is she listening right now?
Excuse me, yeah, she's sitting right here. We're talking about this.
Because she's listening. She's asleep because it's getting boring, Drew.
All right, but let's pick up the pace.
Come on.
She was drinking. I found out that she had smoked pot. She said three times. I knew it had more.
But, Kelly, here's what you need to do.
She calls it fire water, by the way, Kelly.
What?
Fire water.
And maize. And maize.
That's what they call it. Yes, the pot they call maize. The booze, fire water.
But, Kelly, here's very simple instructions I will give you. Okay, ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
It sounds like, you know, it's extremely important that you have intervene at this point.
I can't hear you now.
It's extremely important that you intervene. The earlier you intervene, the better the outcome. Okay,
I
so she
to
needs
homeschool her.
No, I don't think that's. I think you really. I don't think that's the answer. You need professional intervention. You need to take her to somebody that has used to dealing with adolescents, used to dealing with drug and alcohol, and can really connect with her and get a therapeutic process going. And then you need to go to Al-Anon and get a sponsor. Those are the two moves that will have the highest probability of having a significantly positive impact on her.
So and make sure. Also, yeah.
But make sure it's somebody. It really should be somebody well trained in adolescent psychiatry and/or psychology, also addiction. But she's going to need supervision and intervention for a long time, and it's not going to be just a single evaluation and pow, everything's going to be good. She's embarking. The trajectory she's on now is really quite serious and needs to be
very dangerous
right now. Yeah.
Drew, shut up, please. Everybody, quiet down. And Drew, what are you hearing everything on a delay, or is it just you're just in talkus interruptus mode like you get every once in a while?
I'm in talkus interruptus mode.
All right, well, calm down over there. And listen, Drew, if I say to someone like, listen to me. If I say to someone, how old are you, let them answer and say how old they are before you got a message
yes, sir,
you got to shove in. Jesus Christ.
You know, it's not just
all right, you shut up, Kelly. I'm talking
now. I'm pretty bossy, too. She was having sex already. She's only 14.
I know.
Okay,
you guys,
look, we get it. She's a drug-addicted alcoholic whore. Now, listen to me.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Well,
she's my daughter.
Okay, but they call that artistic license. Now, quiet down.
Okay.
Jeez, hold on. I'm putting her on hold. Talking to Kelly is it's really like you hear your own voice with a three-second delay. You'll just go insane talking to her. She must be driving her young daughter nuts. Her impulse to pull her kid out of civilization is a horrible impulse.
I completely
agree with Drew. Kelly's thing is she's getting into trouble outside of this house, so I must keep her in this house. Homeschooler, all this. You'll just create a fat basket case. You keep her chained to the radiator and don't let her out of the house.
You'll coil the spring so tight that when she does break out, it'll be
she'll go out the bathroom window and go on a booze and sex spree, believe you me. Okay, so listen to what Drew said. Stop freaking out. Mom is going to compound the problem. You go to Al-Anon. All right, good enough. Lights, camera, sex, everybody. Name of Chrissy Canyon's new book. Drew also has a book called Lights, Camera, Sex, which is out as well. So just get any book called Lights, Camera, Sex. All right. Chrissy Canyon in studio tonight. Dr. Drew, probably on his fifth cup of coffee over there in New York.
Yeah, it's only 1:45. No big deal.
Yeah, well, just take a chill pill, brother. I'll do the driving. We'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in New York. Christy Canyon is in studio tonight. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Christy's got no sound in her headphones. Yeah?
No.
Get a little knob there? Nothing? All right. That's
good
all right.
Good times.
Yeah, I think I broke them. No,
yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah, we're cool. I came unplugged. That's what it is.
There. I can hear you.
All right. So, anyway, the book is called Lights, Camera, Sex. It's out as we speak.
Yes, it is out as we speak.
And it's autobiographical. You wrote it yourself.
Yes, I did.
Wow. That's a Herculean task.
It was
fun,
though.
Do that.
I mean, it was very interesting writing it. It was like a like such a roller coaster with the emotions. Like sometimes I'd be in the office typing away and I'd start laughing really loud to nobody. And then other times I'd get really sad writing certain things.
Do you have all your films? Do you keep like scrapbooks and stuff?
On some of the stuff I do. A lot of the older titles I don't have anymore, and they've been discontinued.
Yeah, got to get hold of those.
They're hard to find, those older ones.
Yeah, no kidding. Guy could spend weeks on the internet trying to hunt them down.
And have a good time doing it.
Sometimes. Sometimes it's very frustrating when his wife comes home and then looks on the history file of the computer to find out 1,000 big boob internet websites.
No, Adam, no.
But you could say no.
I'm talking
research.
About myself.
No, Adam.
I'm not good enough on the computer to cover my tracks. That's the problem. I'm barely
That's
good enough
I'm
just
saying.
To get it on.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, when I'm done, and here's the whole thing about that history file and the computer, which is, you know, you get all those pop-up things. I mean, you type in big jugs, and it 10 minutes later, your history file has 70,000 sites. You're at, and I'm not good enough to get rid of them, so I got to just like take a bat to the thing when I'm done with it.
Oh, I thought you meant a pop-up on your end.
Oh no, I get. How dare you? This is research for the show. All right, where the hell are we, Drew? You got a screen? You got someone you like there, or you want me to pick a call? Girlfriend cheated on him. How about that one?
Sure.
Kurt?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, you're 21. What's going on?
What's going on here? What's up? First of all, Adam, great to talk to you. Great to talk to a person who has the same point of view that I have on life.
Thanks.
Christy, great to meet a hero of mine. Love your work.
Oh, thank you.
She's an inspiration. Yep.
Thank you. Anyway, okay, this is the situation. I moved out of state, and I moved here to Phoenix, Arizona. To get away from friends and a longtime girlfriend that screwed me over really bad. Mm-hmm. My girlfriend cheated on me with a couple of my friends, and no one really told me about it until I walked in on it.
Wow.
And so I was crushed, you know, and I left the state to kind of get a new start, and I wasn't ready for anything, and I met a girl, and she's just the most amazing person I've ever met in my life, and she went through the same thing in an old relationship. And I just get confusing signals, and I'd like some advice on how to approach a situation.
All right, so we're a little confused. You met somebody.
Oh, yes, yes. I met this girl at a place I work. Right. And
Have you been dating?
No. We went out twice, but I believe we're kind of hovering between friends and dating.
Why? Why?
Well, she had a relationship, too, and she actually made a remark that her heart wasn't into it, but I just get confusing signals, like she tells me not to ignore what she says.
You know what? First of all, there's so much obfuscation what this guy's saying.
Yeah.
Here's what he just said.
I'm scatterbrain. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, but here's I'm going to give you – I'm going to do the – what's his first name?
Kurt.
The Kurt to English dictionary. I have a consultant with it. Here's what he just said. The girl that he's wants to date has a boyfriend.
No. She had a relationship that was similar to mine, and her heart was broken too.
Okay, listen. And I know what's going on.
She is
not sending mixed signals or confusing signals. Your antenna is bent.
Right, you're not able to read them.
If you could pick up her station, you would know she's not interested.
Damn. All right. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
She's tuned. You got to tune into K-Dump.
Right,
she ain't into it. You went out on a couple of dates. She wasn't into it.
Well, that's the thing, though. She keeps.
She doesn't keep anything. You corner her, much like I did to Christy 20 years ago, and said, "What do you mean you don't ever want to go out any of the time at some point in the distant future, perhaps?" And they go, "Yeah, okay, well, call me sometime." And it just. They're dancing. No, you've turned a lot of guys down in your day, and nobody is comfortable looking someone in the eye and going, "Look, I'm just not interested. Please stop approaching me." You say stuff like, "Oh, no, yeah, no, not this weekend, but that sounds fun. Maybe later," you know, kind of stuff.
But see, with you, it was different, I have to say, because my sister liked you, so I couldn't, you know.
Oh, please.
She's dancing. She's dancing now.
No, I stopped that a couple years ago.
Oh, Michael Flatley can't move like that. I'll tell you. Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, her sister asked me to Sadie Hawkins dance in 1952. And then 25 years later, Christy's like, yeah, my sister still likes you. So
she's only 2 years older.
Please. All right. We got to take another break, believe it or not. But we're going to come back, and we're coming back with a vengeance. Yes, Drew?
Yeah, I want to talk to the guy that wants to know where I'm signing books on Friday night.
All right, but Drew, when I say, yes, Drew, you don't go, yeah.
Yes, Adam. Yes, Mr. Carolla.
Now, how about a hell yeah?
Hell yeah. Yes, sir, Mr. Carolla.
Yes, Drew?
Hell yeah.
All right.
Adam, sir?
Yeah. Christy Canyon in the studio tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in New York. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Chrissy Canyon is our guest tonight. Lights, Camera, Sex is the name of her new book, which is out as we speak. And Drew is promoting his book, Cracked. He is out in New York doing that. Drew, you there?
I'm here.
All Drew, right. When are you going to be doing a signing in Los Angeles?
I'm doing one on September 14th, I think, in Santa Monica, and one in Pasadena on September, like, 7th.
Oh, like at where, like a Borders type of thing?
One is a Barnes & Noble, and one is Roman's book.
And if you want to get that book signed, you better start camping out right now.
How about Christie's? When are you doing signings in Los Angeles?
Oh, God, I did that UCLA book fair.
Oh, yeah.
Which was fun. And then some signings that haven't been around here, like in Texas and more back east. And what do I have? Something coming up, some book fair. Oh, for the Golden Apple. Do you guys know that place on Melrose?
Yeah.
I think it's September 21st. And I think I did Hustler Hollywood about 2 weeks ago.
Is the Golden Apple like comic books and adult books and kind of funky books?
Yeah, I've realized now that I've published my book that the adult world and the comic book world kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah, older fat guys who like to beat off a lot and live in a world of fantasy at their parents' house. Yeah, that's
but they're really nice.
You got the hand part of hand in hand part. Yeah, a lot of Stratego tournaments, a lot of beating off,
and a lot of Christy Canyon.
A lot of fat
Nothing
guys
wrong
in sweatpants.
That.
No, that's your public.
And I love them.
Yeah, oh, they're dynamite. They're great guys, dynamite individuals. Let me ask you a couple of questions, because I was trying to think of some good ones to ask you. Because I'll kick myself if I don't. But I mean, you were able to make a good amount of money in the business, right?
Yes, definitely.
Did you save your money? Did you invest your money?
I did.
You did?
I did.
What'd you buy? Real estate?
Yeah. A house. Just a great lifestyle. I have absolutely no complaints.
Are you are you good? Are you set? Do you need to keep working?
Yeah, I do. Only because I get so bored if I don't have projects. Like when I quit dancing in 2001, mm-hmm. when I got married, mm-hmm. I thought, okay, now what am I going to do? I can't just sit around. I can't personally get a 9-to-5 job. Like I've just, you know, I haven't lived that lifestyle. And that's when I enrolled in this writing class. And I thought, you know, after the first quarter, I realized, you know, and all my writing projects that they were either about my father or about the business. And my teacher said, you know, Christy, you should put a book together. This is so fascinating.
You could volunteer to, you know, go to like children's homes and dance and old age homes and dance. I mean, you could do some pro bono stuff.
I do work with an animal shelter, which is in the back of my book.
Dance for the animals.
I'll do anything
Adam,
for those animals.
Yeah. Was Christy's house the one you lit on fire or something?
No. That was Esty's house.
I remember
that's
her.
Right.
Yeah, we're just sitting around talking because...
it's another girl you wanted to date but couldn't, as I recall.
No, she was my girlfriend in junior high.
Well, I'm so sorry I wasn't your girlfriend.
Yeah, see, baby? You could have
had a new house.
That ship has left. burn her. Well, I didn't really burn it down to the ground, just sort of
just
caught
her
the
bedroom.
Just caught the kitchen on fire when her dad pulled up. It was great. I'm telling you, the craziest thing in the world, I lit a small fire at this girl's house when I was 16, destroyed the kitchen. The dad, who was basically in like the in the mafia, like the Israeli mafia, pulled his El Camino up to the kitchen window that was wide open as I was trying to blow, get the smoke out of the kitchen. Uh-huh. He pulled in, and he was like one of these crazy Israeli guys. Like he would have stabbed me immediately. And the girl was not there. I was there with my buddy Chris, and we basically burned the kitchen. And he pulled up, and he looked at me through the window, and I said, okay, this is where we die. And my buddy Chris ran. He just ran. And he looked at me, and he went, what is Esty? And I said, she's not here. And he went, okay. And he drove off. And I was like, holy Christ, he didn't come into his own house.
No, not all right.
Yeah. It was the greatest day of my life. Although later on, they
found out what your friends were made of, though.
Yeah. Chris was hiding in like a broom closet. Anyway, yeah, good times. Now, how much money did you get paid at the beginning of your career, like first movie or two?
Oh, God, hardly anything. I think the first one was right about... the magazine layouts were $500.
Right.
And films were like $1,000 for two scenes. The problem was, and believe me, that was a lot of money for an 18-year-old who was flat broke.
Yeah.
But we signed away all of our rights. So, I mean, even now they come out with these new magazines with these old layouts of me from 1984.
Right. These like compilation tapes.
Yes.
Like Totally Christy.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah. I have to say, when I was with Vivid Video from 1990 till 1996, I actually got a royalty. So they could comp them all they want.
Yeah, but what about, I know it sounds almost ridiculous, but, you know, there is groups that protect performers for television and movies and stuff like that. I mean, you can't, you know, look at ASCAP. I mean, you can't just play a Who song unless the Who's going to get paid for it, or whoever owns that music library gets paid for the publishing rights. Pornography is a, you know, billion-dollar-a-year industry, you know, hell, maybe more. How is there anyone trying to get involved with this and get people some money back who are performing in these movies?
I think so, but I'm so out of the loop now that I haven't made films. I don't know, and I think that unfortunately it's just one of those things that if you make the decision to get in the films, that is one of the drawbacks. You do sign all your rights away.
But how, like I said, how can these companies continue to profit off of your image when it doesn't work that way in any other media?
I have no idea.
True.
Okay.
Get one of your attorney buddies on the horn. Let's see what we can do.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Just
hell yes.
There you go. All right. Now, who are we going to talk to, Drew?
Your pick. I don't have the screen up anymore.
Oh, okay. $1,000, huh? Early on. And then what was it working up to as you were at the peak of your career?
Definitely more than that, plus a royalty.
Uh-huh. And you were a contract player at a certain point, right? All right. Let's talk to Aaron.
Hey.
You're 19?
Yep.
What's up?
Well, first off, I'd like to say, Dr. Drew and Adam, you guys are totally awesome. Dr. Drew, I think that you give some of the best advice that anyone out in like media gives, so thank you very much for that.
He's the best.
Yeah.
Now be quiet. Go ahead, Aaron.
All right. I have a friend of mine who I've known for about 4 years, girl, very attractive, and I'd like to know how I can transition from being friends with her to having sex with her.
Mm-hmm. He had an ether rag, some roofies.
Why are you friends? How did you end up in Friendville with her?
We went to high school together.
But I obviously had an interest in her forever, right?
No.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Not really. I've always thought that she's been attractive, but I've only recently thought, hey, maybe I could do something.
No, wait, let's come on. You've always wanted to, but didn't feel you could.
Because
it doesn't fit. A guy, you're either attracted or you're not. You don't become
I've always been attracted to her, but I've always put the relationship as, you know, friends. First.
Because you felt you couldn't have a girlfriend-boyfriend relationship. You didn't think you were up for that.
Fine. I mean...
All right.
And now you want to make a go for it.
Shut up.
Right?
Fine. Well, hold on. I put him on hold because I can't stand chasing our tail this way.
But am I right, Adam? Would you agree?
Yeah, if you're a guy and you recognize that a girl is very attractive and that you're attracted to her, but you're just friends, it means you were trying, you just couldn't reach that gap. Or you didn't feel you were capable of doing it.
Yeah, you weren't up for it, yeah.
But the reason Drew's bringing this up is, by the way. Yeah, the reason is if he's liked her the whole time, he's probably screwed now.
Well, not only that, there's a reason she stuck him in Friendville. Although he was completely into it, she wasn't.
Right, right.
And that's why he felt he couldn't get there.
Yeah, and he has a very thick layer of denial.
The only way he's up for this is if his number has changed profoundly for some reason.
Right.
And that's why now he feels
he's up for
this.
Did you come into some money, or did your penis grow, or anything like that happen?
I'm a very good friend, and I've always put the friendship above, like...
Stop with that. Who do you think you're talking to, Aaron? Come on.
Why are you beating off to her every night?
Fine. Look.
Always put the friendship above. Who do you think you're talking to, her?
Man,
are you full of crap?
I married my high school sweetheart.
Yeah, but you had a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship with him, right?
Yeah, she doesn't like Aaron. But just look, you've always been into her, and you never thought she was into you, and you're trying to make a move at some point.
Yeah, now's that point. How can I transition from her thinking that we're friends to maybe thinking romantically about me?
You can just go for a balls-out attempt.
Assault.
But it's not. It's probably not going to work.
It's not going to work. It's not going to work.
All right.
Why isn't it going to work, Drew?
Well, he hasn't told us yet why she has not been interested in him. Is it just she doesn't? You're not.
She's probably been keeping me in her back pocket.
No. No. Well, you could be
why
the on deck person.
Why? Wait, is she had a boyfriend the whole time?
Oh yeah, she's always got boyfriends.
Yeah, all but right. Why not you then?
I'm just kind of a safe, nice guy.
Yeah, he values
not into
the
guys like you.
Right?
Yeah, he's not into guys like you, Aaron. She's not into guys like you. You're the guy that she comes and complains to about her boyfriends, who are the more dangerous guys. Yeah,
okay.
And that's what she's into, and she's not into you.
Should I risk it?
Risk what? You don't have a friendship based on anything other than you being attracted to her anyway and not being able to pull the trigger. Yeah.
Right. And so,
Chris,
really,
he's hot for me.
Yeah, he really has only one play, and that is when she's upset with one of the boyfriends to be the guy in the bullpen. But I guarantee you, she will not stay with you long.
She currently doesn't have a boyfriend though.
All right, well, you ask her out. You want to ask her out tonight?
Sure.
You want to air this whole thing out? We'll work it out.
Let's call her.
Wait, you mean like on the air? Do it?
Yeah, I have a 30% success rating.
Oh. All right, that would be kind of cool though to.
All right, we'll put you on hold. Can you get hold of her?
Yeah, I can.
All right,
here's
we'll put
the problem.
You on
She's
hold.
Going to say yes because it's
oh, shut up,
Trey. All right, whatever.
Trey, twice a year we try to do decent radio. You got a
all
crap
right.
on it?
All right, there you go.
All right, I'm going to put Aaron on hold.
Hell yes. Hell yes.
Thank you. Now, don't hang up, phone screener, whoever's phone screening. Brian and Tara, don't call me Tara. Don't hang up on Aaron. We're going to put him on hold. He's going to try to find this girl. We'll see if we can get to the bottom of it. But, Christy, if you're interested in a guy and you've known the guy for 4 years, you let your feelings be known at some point through some way, do you
Definitely.
Not?
Definitely. Especially at that age because your hormones are raging.
Yeah. I mean, she's 19. And by the way, if she'd known this guy, she's known this guy since she was like 15, believe me, she'd let him know.
Girl, I agree.
Here's what you guys need to understand. Girls may not come out and ask you out, just straight up ask you out. But they will let you know they're interested in you in no uncertain terms, especially if you're spending a lot of time together and they are interested.
I agree. And yet if you've established that just friends,
girls will still
sign.
They'll still let you know if they are. But a woman wouldn't let you establish that just friends thing if she was really interested. How do you like that, man?
There's a slight sort of ray of hope in this. If it were a girl trying to bend a guy over to attraction, it would be impossible.
Never work.
Impossible. Never work. There is the finite possibility with a girl, but he is not painting the scenario where that usually occurs.
Right.
He really isn't. The only way to occur is if, again, he's in the bullpen, his number improves a lot for some, mm-hmm. Some career move or something about him that's become more interesting,
right.
And she is done with the dangerous guys.
All right. Let's forge ahead here and speak to Janet.
Hi.
What's up? You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
I just have a question on masturbation. What can a girl do to get an orgasm while masturbating?
Christy, why don't you tell her what she can do?
I would get a little vibrator.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what?
Like a vibrator. I think it's... Oh, but she's 15. How could she buy one?
She could have her dad go in and buy it for her.
If you go to Rite Aid, they have those, like,
Rite Aid,
quote, back massagers, you know?
Yeah, anytime they show the topless chick with her hair in a bun, and she's doing that thing, and she's trying to reach the top of her back with that, that means it's going somewhere else. It's how like, about, honey, if you want to get to your coos, you're going the wrong direction.
How about the water spout, the spigot?
Water spout?
The bathtub is always solid, too.
I think that's
a vibrator.
Jacuzzi jets. Well, yeah, but
here's the whole thing about the tub. Mm-hmm. The tub tells no tale. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. The vibrator.
Leaves no traces.
That's right. It's like what pirates used to say about dead men.
Yeah.
I say about tubs. Tubs tell no tales. It's going to be the name of Chrissy's next book.
She could just get like, you know, a little neck brace and say her neck's been hurting.
Yeah, that's right. Fake a whiplash injury.
Okay.
If you have your learner's permit, drive your stepmom's Honda into a wall.
Okay. Then...
it's worth it for a good orgasm.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. No, yeah. I don't know, though. Should we be telling 15-year-olds to get vibrators?
Why not?
How do you feel about that?
It's safer
try the tub.
Other stuff.
Okay. Take a bath.
Safer than having sex. That's true.
Exactly.
All right. I know. It's like old Pop's Corolla. All right. Now I guess Aaron is trying to find the girl he likes, and we're going to try calling her and find out what's up with her. I did that thing. I reached my hand under the console and found a dried booger. Chipped a dried booger off the bottom of the console.
Why did you chip it off?
Well,
why did he recoil in disgust?
You don't know what it is at first. Your finger's under there. You feel some nugget, and then pow. I got... Rodney Bingenheimer said snuggie on my hand.
Oh my God.
Stupid DJs in here. It's not my booger because we have Michelle in here. She's running the board. We have guests. We have Drew. I can't pick and stuff like these guys do, but these other guys working the graveyard in here, just finger never leaves the nose. One hand in the ass, the other up the nose.
It's like you in a car.
Nah. Hey, come on, Drew.
Well, only when you're driving.
I got hepatitis or something. Ah, it's another. No, it's all over
now. Come
on. Stop reaching under.
Christ, I can't help myself now. All right, I'm going to use my booger hand to punch up the next call. Let's talk to Stephanie, who's 23. Stephanie?
Yeah, I have a question. When I was 5 years old, I was molested by my cousin on my dad's side.
Good times.
And when I turned 14, I started drinking alcohol. By 15, I was using speed and having sex with numerous guys.
Mm-hmm.
By the age of 19, I got arrested for possession.
Mm-hmm.
I went to jail. I got out. I got pregnant with my son. Ever since, I've been sober. And when I got pregnant, I stopped having sex with guys, but I was in a relationship with this guy for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He fucked me over. He was married.
Wait. Slow down. You were in a relationship but not having sex with him?
I was only having sex with him.
And you were in a program of sobriety at that point or just not using?
Excuse me?
Were you in a 12-step program or just not using?
Well, I went to a couple of rehabs that my court sent me to.
You were just not using.
I am in AA.
And you have a sponsor and you're actively working the program.
But... See, recently I was just raped by my other cousin.
What does your sponsor say about that relationship?
Well, no one knows.
Okay, well, that's not an honest program of recovery, is it?
Well, no one knows what? The rape or the relationship?
The rape.
Yeah, see, we're talking about two different things.
Quiet
down. I speak junkie.
Go ahead.
Stephanie.
Yeah.
You were raped by your other cousin? Like,
on my dad's side.
18 years after the first cousin raped you?
Yeah.
And how did this happen that, you know, now you're sober and you've been through what you've been through, and how did this happen with the other cousin?
He was always there for me, and I turned to him when, because he just got sober himself. He, 3 months sober or whatever. And so we started hanging out, and he came over to my house, and it just happened. And
but let me ask you this.
I'm not sure he would see it as a rape.
It seems like, and I know this sounds horrible, but you've been victimized your whole life, and everything feels like a victimization situation with you.
Yeah.
I mean, were you screaming, you know, get off me? Cool. And
did he hold
your
knife point or something?
See, he's like 5 times bigger than I am.
Yeah.
So I was trying to push him off me, but he had his hands on my shoulders, and I had bruises on my shoulders.
All right.
Did you report him?
Well, no. Hold on, though. No. Were you interested in having a physical encounter with him before?
Was I injured?
Were you interested? Did you want to sort of be close with him physically until it got out of hand?
No.
No, the whole thing was unwanted.
I can't hear you.
The whole thing was unwanted.
Of course.
Did you call the police?
No.
Why not?
Because I guess I'm scared.
Okay.
Of what?
When I was molested when I was 5 years old, it was pushed under the rug. No one did anything about it.
Yeah.
Right.
And not even my parents. It was not said about.
Yeah. Well, so, that here's the situation. You have a horrible, horrible white trash family.
Of course.
I mean, like albino. Almost lucite clear. They're such white trash.
Yes.
They're translucent white trash. All right? Now, here's your job. Your job is to not turn your daughter into another piece of white trash.
My son.
Oh, son. That's horrible.
That's why I don't hang out with my dad's side of the family.
Good.
I don't talk to even my dad. I don't trust them.
Well, what about the part where you're spending a lot of time with the behemoth rapist cousin? I mean, you didn't know he was a bad guy?
No, because he was always there for me.
Yeah, but
he was always sticking up for me.
All right, so this happened how long ago?
2 months ago.
Okay. Have you got any counseling or anything?
I have done counseling since I was 8 years old up to 22.
Right.
And I can't get over
it. Money back. Okay. Here's what you got to do. Here's my plan for you, Stephanie. No more kids. Do you hear me?
He saved my life. My son saved my life. I got sober when I had my son.
Okay.
Okay.
But no more.
No more kids.
No more.
That's enough. Okay.
B, your sobriety is not very solid. You're not on solid ground with that, right? You don't have an active program recovery. You're not going to meetings regularly. You're not talking to your sponsor all the time. And you're not being completely honest with your sponsor. You have to start and really put sobriety as a priority in your life, okay?
All right.
It's crucial.
And then C and D, no more kids.
Yeah. Birth control, morning after pill, whatever.
Oh, my God. These families, like roaches. I like to take them out with some napalm. Just put an end to the madness.
Have you ever thought about just moving? I mean, do you have anything that's tying you to where you live now? It seems like
it seems like a good idea
to start fresh.
Yeah,
somewhere.
I know. Well, see, I just got off probation, so I don't have any court thing anymore because I was on probation for 3 years for my.
May I suggest Alaska or Mars?
That's what I'm thinking about.
All right, listen. Number five, listen to some classical music, would you? It makes you smarter.
And exercise.
Yeah. Don't listen to that heavy metal or that country. It rots your brain. You understand? Classical music. It either makes you smarter or at least makes the people around you think you're smart. Like if you saw some hillbilly and their big ass and their stretch pants going down the street and they're listening to some Beethoven, you'd be like, oh, I guess I was wrong. I guess they must be a genius. You see? Thank you. All right, we have... there you go. We're all smarter. It's like we're in a big Grey Poupon commercial. We've left the bad lands of Riverside and El Toro and Hawaiian Gardens, and all of a sudden we're on the English countryside. You ever hear this song before, Christy, when you're dancing one
at
of those clubs?
Every club.
Hey, blah, 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 like Christy can, you know, blah. Quit your credit, drop your lid, blah, blah. Show you appreciate it, blah, blah, blah.
This was always when all the house girls came out.
Blah, blah, blah. Go on this little table dance, revenue, businessman lunch, blah, 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 blah. Plenty of parking, blah, blah, blah. Shana, stay fresh. blah, blah, blah. I always liked when they had to give a message out to one of the girls. They slide into that. They slide into the air traffic controller voice for 10 seconds, and then it would be back to the obnoxious fat guy with the leather fanny pack and the mullet. Blah 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 blah. Say blah 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 blah. Tammy, Bob needs you back. Say blah 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 blah. Lucinda, you're going to work the bar Tuesday, Thursday. Talk to Bob, the shift manager. Blah 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 blah.
And then there was the voice also came and said, and don't forget, there's an ATM machine in the back.
Yeah, only 15 bucks a pop. Oh, those ATMs at the goddamn strip club. Talk about rape. Oh my God. They're literally like 10 bucks. And they have these limits. You know, you get out 200 bucks, you pay them like 10 bucks. And that, to me, that's the one place it should be free. Because that money's just going straight. Like, the only reason you're going to the ATM at the strip club is to drop more money at the strip club.
It speaks volumes about the drive that men are succumbing to. They'll pay anything. Don't care.
Yeah, you're going to limp down to the Wells Fargo with a boner 8 blocks away to save $1.50.
But you'd have to pay another $15 to get back in.
Listen, could you stamp my boner? I'm going to be back in 10 seconds. I got to make it to the ATM.
No, sir. We have one in the back.
Oh, all the money Christie's made from us over the years. All right, so here's the deal. Aaron has Christina, his friend, the one we spoke to earlier about getting out of Friendville and into the catbird seat. About 5 minutes ago, we spoke to him. She's on the other line. We got to take a break. Put them both on hold, and when we come back, we'll see if we can make a love connection after this. Yeah, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there in New York. Chrissy Canyon is in the studio tonight. One of the most prolific adult film stars, or at least maybe not the most prolific, but most beloved in adult film history. She has a book. Lights, Camera, Sex is the name of her book. It is out. Drew has a book called Cracked. He's out in New York plugging that book.
Yeah, I'll be at the corner of Park and 54th at the Barnes & Noble on Friday night signing books.
Mm-hmm. Signing books or just looking around?
Just on the corner, just sitting there.
That's what I figured.
Now, do you do talk shows while you're out there? Like, did you do Howard Stern? Do you do talk shows?
Oh, yeah. My good buddy Adam Carolla set me up on Howard Stern. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's one of the shows I'm not doing while I'm in New York.
Well, I made the phone call. If you had a little juice, you could have done it. Well,
no, I'm doing Good Morning America and all that kind of stuff.
I thought you were going out there on the 28th, by the way.
I'm going back. I'm going to Washington and then Chicago and then back to New York on the 28th. I'm going to be around,
Good times. I'll just stay here and, work,
you'll be in Mexico, as a matter of fact.
Gotta keep the show going.
You'll be in Mexico.
Gotta keep the show going.
You'll be in Mexico.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm doing a show from Mexico.
We just got back from Mexico about a month ago.
Yeah.
Went to Huatulco.
Huatulco?
Or Huatulco?
Where is that?
Somewhere very southern.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. What'd you do? Did you do some fishing? Sport fishing?
No.
An angler?
No.
No. No. I'm going to Mexico, and my buddy Tony at the office is like, you got to go tuna fishing. You got to go tuna fishing. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go tuna fishing. So he sets the whole thing up, and then he shows up today with a giant Coleman cooler that has the hinges busted off and the hatch busted, the latch is busted, and there's rope holding the top on. And he's like, take this to put the tuna in it. And I'm like, Tony, I don't want to lug this 70-gallon, busted-up, stinky old fish cooler all the way to Mexico. I'll just get one if I catch it. He's like, they'll gouge you. They'll gouge you. It's like, well, okay, so for a $17 cooler, I spend $22, but I don't have to drag this coffin through the goddamn airport. He's like, you may have trouble finding a cooler out there. Well, that's all they got in Mexico, in coolers. People live in coolers. They use them for boats. They use them for coffins. I'll find a cooler over there. Okay, take the cooler with a piece of rope tying the top on it. All right, where are we? All right, so here's what happened. Aaron, who was the mayor of Friendville, who wanted to speak to his friend Christina. And for 10 seconds, we're going to do some good radio on this show, but his friend dropped off, so we can't speak to her. Aaron?
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. Oh, she's on 8? Oh, she's back on. Okay.
No,
now,
no,
Anderson,
no.
How do I get two people on simultaneously?
Just give me the go.
All right, you do it then, Anderson. Go ahead. So we're speaking to Christina. Christina?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Correct.
And you've known Aaron for about 4 years?
Yes? Yeah, I think that sounds right.
Okay. And you guys have been good friends in that time?
Do you want to define good friends?
Oh, man, she's like on the witness stand here, Adam.
Wow.
Yes, Your Honor.
Yeah, I guess I could say we were good friends.
Okay.
Or we recently, within the past month or so, no.
I think we had to stop the interview here while we're still ahead.
Okay. Now, Aaron has something important he'd like to ask you.
Okay.
Christina? Right.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. This is not... No.
I can't hear her.
Good.
Yeah, I'm here.
Probably good. All right, listen, I'll speak for Aaron.
All right.
Aaron is always cherished his friendship with you, but... A burgeoning romance is a blossomed in Aaron's heart, at least, for you. He has more feelings for you than just friendly feelings.
Of course, also, he doesn't. I'm going up to Santa Barbara this weekend to hang out with her.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we could give it a shot then.
Christina?
Yeah.
Do you have any feelings for Aaron as more than just a friend?
I highly respect him, but to be clear cut, no.
Okay. Oh, no.
All right, that's
I'm
good.
Sorry we didn't make the love connection, but, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, now do you think you could learn to love Aaron at some stage?
Adam, stop.
Drew,
stop.
Shut up, please.
Stop.
What, would you shut up, Drew, for 10
maybe
seconds
if
we're trying
I dated,
to do something? Jesus
but,
Christ.
You know, I just got to college, and I'm not really looking for anything. I just got out of a two-year relationship, so I'm kind of having fun.
At least she's honest.
Well,
I'm
yeah.
being honest, you know?
Yeah. See, Drew, you were all wrong. I told
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
But I definitely enjoy his companionship, you know?
It, yeah. It's going to be a tough weekend coming up, by the
you
way.
You know what totally sucks is that
hey,
I can't even
not
hear.
Jameson?
Okay. Hold on a second.
It's probably better you can't hear.
All right. So, Christina, yes, Aaron.
Yeah.
She says she's masturbating to you right now.
No. Categorical, she said, Friendville. Categorical friends. Only. Ever.
Drew, what is your compulsion to not do a second of decent radio, you jackass?
Because we're on the verge of doing harm here, and that's my responsibility to make sure we don't harm people with what we do.
You pansy! We're going to harm a guy who's been living in a fantasy for 4 years?
Yeah.
I'm not, like, totally hung up over this. I'm still cool with being friends with her.
All right. But maybe you shouldn't go up there this weekend.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. So let's put Christina back on hold. And it, all right. Well, oh, you guys can hear each other.
Christina?
Yeah.
What's up?
All right. Aaron has a question he wants to ask.
No.
All right. Look, okay, there's no love connection being made.
Okay, wait, I want to say one thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Aaron, I can't say that I've ever hinted one hint of romance ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been a friend to you, more than a friend, but, I mean, I can't say that you have any grounds to even assume that I would like you. Is that not fair?
Yeah.
Okay, when this last Friday when we were hanging out, I was kind of trying to gauge what was...
He's still going.
What kind of vibes I was getting from you. And I didn't get anything negative, but I didn't get anything positive. So because I didn't get anything negative, I was going to go on with it. Just ask.
Okay, that's understandable. I mean, that's my fault. I shouldn't have, quote-unquote, right. led you on, I guess.
All right. Well, listen, no sale was made. That's fine. I'm a bitch. Yeah. Aaron, you're...
Oh, that was low.
Christina,
low.
You're a tough gal.
You know what? I am quite the strong character.
Yeah, strong is a nice spin.
Euphemism.
Oh, my euphemism. Yeah. Where's your dad? What did he do?
My dad? What did he do? Yeah. Oh, he
something
raped me.
Something wrong? I mean, really, you got a lot of energy for 18.
You know what? I'm actually on my third cup of coffee and my second rum and coke, so that's probably why.
Okay, but you're a hot chick, are you?
Good looking? I don't know. Maybe.
All right. All right, Christina. All right, let's get rid of Christina. Listen, Christina's a ball buster. My God. Not only is she like a sort of a ball buster, but she's sort of like bitchy in a snotty way. Like
arrogant ball buster.
Yeah, arrogant, bitchy, and snotty. Gotta be hot. Gotta be hot. And you know what I love about geeks like Aaron? Aaron is like, we've been friends for so long. I've talked to Christina for 30 seconds. I can't stand her. He is hard up, and she's hot.
At the well,
it's got
yeah.
zero to do with her personality. She yeah. sounds like she has one of the worst personalities I've heard in many, many years. Aaron.
Yeah.
Listen, this chick's doing you a favor. Well, you get tangled up in her, and she'd do exactly what Drew said. She would just bust your chops and break your balls.
All right.
And she would dump you.
That's
fast.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh, no,
and
no,
then,
not
and
probably,
then,
Aaron. Stop it, Aaron.
Sorry.
Then
denial
you'd be in,
is so profound.
Well, we don't know if she would or not, but look, you'd be in deep, and she would break your heart. Okay?
But why don't you got no play, playa? But,
thank you. She's a ball
she's,
buster.
She's also said
ball
clearly,
buster.
She said as clear as can possibly, there's no possibility of romance. I have never given you any hints to that regard, and I should have shut you down, and it will never happen. She said that.
I've never actually heard in my 9 years of doing this show, never heard it put any more clearly.
the ball's busted any more squarely.
That's actually the only a lot thing. Nicer when you don't corner her or anything.
I'm sure she's a delight.
You got to get out there and get your bitch spunk drunk.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, Drew. Okay, so Aaron, you find a new chick.
All right.
And don't go up there with your tail between your legs. You just go find a chick in Granada Hills.
All right.
Have a good life and go have a good life, and that'll be a revenge.
Oh,
it'll be fine.
The time spent. Oh, this just reminds me of my earlier years with Christy Canyon.
Oh, right.
He has been pining over you for quite some time, Christy. As his career has progressed, he's brought you up sort of in a different light each time. It sort of changes his perspective as he moves along. But
and like sometimes does he have like anger?
Oh, no, pain.
Other times.
Pain, Christy,
sadness.
Pain.
I remember it well, though, because I don't remember too much from my youth, but I do remember specifically washing my car in preparation for the date that never came, and a trip to the Army Surplus store to get some pants.
Hey, Christy,
I remember that as
Doughboys.
Well.
Doughboys. Do you remember Doughboys?
Probably were wearing, like, painter pants.
Yes.
Washing the car is a euphemism that Adam uses. You know what I'm saying?
That is beating off. Drew's right. That's right. Using the chamois. All right, we're going to take ourselves a quick break. Well, that kind of worked out. At least Aaron has an answer.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew is in New York where it's getting close to 3 a.m.
Nice.
What a trooper out there.
Yeah, oh, I'll tell you.
Engineer Matt's here. Set me up in a new studio.
Wow.
That's nice.
Yeah. Where are you in New York?
Well, you know, our usual spot, you know.
Oh,
CBS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Forgot about that place. Yeah. Hey, good times, though, right?
Good times, yeah.
Is there that engineer that's always sleeping
Matt.
In the next room?
Oh, no, the guy over here. Yeah, yeah. He was awake, kind of unusually awake today. In fact, I walked out and noticed him. He was sort of spry and alert. I was shocked.
There's a guy supposed to be monitoring a bunch of equipment, and he's asleep every time I go to the New York studio, and I'm always scared he's going to wake up and scare me or try to kill me for saying he was asleep.
That's a different guy, Drew. The guy that's asleep is on vacation.
What?
Oh, really? All right. So anyway, Christy Canyon in studio tonight. Lights, camera, sex. Name of her new book. A substantial book, I might add.
Are you going to bring that to Mexico with you?
Yes. I'd like some easy reading on the plane, by the way. I may read it.
Oh again, that's
how
a euphemism,
it's
Christy.
Easy reading.
Euphemism again.
Yeah. Masturbation. I'm going to go into the bathroom and do some easy reading. 300 pages. Nice. Drew, how thick's your book?
280 something.
Aha!
Ooh.
She beat me.
Yeah, an adult film star outwrote you.
But that's, you know what? Awesome. I think out of those like 311 pages, somewhere around there, I think about 10 of them are actually photos.
Yeah, so she's still got you beat, though.
Oh, I do,
Drew.
Don't I?
Yeah, she beat me. Fair and square.
I'll trade you a book for a book.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. All right, Drew's book is cracked. He's plugging that in New York, and it's back to the phones we go. I'm just going to start taking some people who have been on hold for way too long. Like Mike over here has been on hold for 127 minutes.
Oh, my God, Adam.
Wow.
Mike?
Yes.
Ooh. Sorry, Drew. Sorry, Drew kept you on hold.
Now, by the way, I was not in control of the panel tonight. This was Adam's doing.
Drew used his mind power to control my hand, and I couldn't punch you up. Sorry, brother. So, anyway, Mike, we're about out of time, but thanks for calling the program.
What's up, Mike?
Well, I called before, and my question is, how do I relieve sexual frustration without losing my virginity?
You have to kill a hooker.
I know it
sounds irresponsible.
No, you told him that last time. It didn't work, obviously.
Oh, really? Okay. Why do you want to remain a virgin?
I don't know. I guess it's something I took a program in church called True Love Waits.
Oh, yeah. Why can't you masturbate?
Took another program in church called the Quit Beating Off.
No, not
God
really.
Cries when you whack it. Yeah.
Well, you know, when my penis gets hard, you know, I try to rub it and all this and that. I just don't feel anything or get, you know, have any sensations or anything like that. It just doesn't work.
So you're not against masturbation philosophically?
No, I mean, I try to do it. It's just
you do.
Nothing happens with it.
How old are you again?
19.
He's 19.
And are you on any medication?
Effexor.
Effexor?
Yeah.
Well, that might be shutting you down a bit. It can be difficult to have an orgasm sometimes. It's venlafaxine is the medication. And that can cause problems with not just orgasm, but even erection sometimes.
What is that medication for?
Depression.
Depression.
Oh, well, that's what happens when you don't beat off.
So that's one possibility. The other thing is that you can have something called somatic dissociation, which is if you're traumatized when you're real young, you sort of cut off from that part of your body. Did something like that happen to you when you were real little? Hello?
Yeah.
Something happened? Hold on a second, Drew. Let me say this. I don't know how we're always right when we talk to this. Like once in a while, once a week, I look up at the board and I go, oh, this poor guy's been on hold for like 2 hours. What happened? We should talk to him. And then you talk to him for 10 seconds and you go, let's put him back on hold. They haven't been on hold long enough. I know the show's only 2 hours long, but they should be on hold for 3 hours. True. How come we're always right with this?
We're never wrong. I know.
Okay. Listen, Mike.
Yes.
Any abuse in the past? Were you victimized?
Yes. My dad abused me.
What kind of abuse?
Physical.
Okay.
How old were you when that started?
About 3 or 4.
Okay.
All right.
That might be enough.
Yeah, that can cause sort of disconnects from your body and can further make it difficult to have arousal. So you might talk to whoever's prescribing the medication to switch you to something that doesn't shut you down even further.
Do you have a girlfriend?
Nope.
All right. Are you interested in a girlfriend?
Yes.
Yes. And I can't imagine you not having a girlfriend. And what do you do?
He
do you
lights
work?
Up the room when we talk to him.
Nice. I know.
Yes, I work.
You work. What kind of work do you do?
Mechanic.
All right. Got to be chicks throwing themselves at you. And do you have any place where you can meet girls, like church?
Yes.
All right.
There you go.
All right. I would have figured Mike was an auctioneer. But he really, really threw me a curve with that mechanic answer.
Double bit now three. I got 2 double bit now three, give me 4. I got 3 double bit now 4.
Mike, here's what you need to do. Talk to the doctor. Get that medication adjusted. Keep going to church. Listen to classical music. I think they have Christian classical now, too.
Okay.
Yeah. All right there, buddy. Blah, blah, blah. All right. And listen, take care of yourself, right? Because good times, right?
Good times.
And yeah, Adam, you recommend classical music so much. By now, you must be an expert in all the different composers and their...
Oh, man. I know Puccini and Verdi and von Klaus Bülow and Hitler. And I know all the big names, all the big ones. Yeah, they're all just German guys. I get my war criminals and my composers a little mixed up.
Strange
Himmler and Wagner.
Strange that you would say war criminals and German and Wagner all in the same sentence. But I was thinking of the other day when I heard Werner Klemperer conducting a Wagner piece.
Oh, really? From Hogan's Heroes?
Yes. He was a very accomplished musician. I thought, oh, Adam would love this.
Well, he's a fine actor, too. All right. Oh, God. I heard they just put the baton in that hand he would clinch up when he went, oh, God. All right. Let's take one more call. Again, I'm going to throw caution to the wind and talk to the person. Whew, Mike over there, everybody. What's the over-under on when Mike gets late? He's a mechanic.
Years. 12 years.
So you say, let's say, maybe spring of 2015?
15, yeah. Yes. But you realize we had the exact same conversation with him last week?
Was that a conversation?
With the same interchange.
Right.
Why did he call back?
He's chatty.
That was the same guy that called?
Yeah.
Yes, friend, that was the second time.
His friends call him Gabby. He's a real chatterbox. He's got a couple cups of coffee in him tonight, so he's really going. But, he'll talk your ear off. Jason?
Oh, hey.
Hey, you're 13.
Actually, I just want to say thanks for taking my call. You guys are awesome.
Our pleasure.
And, Drew, congratulations on your new book. And when I save enough money, I will buy that.
Please.
Thank you, Jason.
Okay.
So you want to know the best way to break up with a girlfriend of 2 months?
Yes.
Okay.
Just be honest.
Be honest.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Should I take her out, or I should do it over? Or I should take her out, right?
Yeah. Everybody.
Adam thinks you should do it over the phone. I think you do it in person.
Well, here's the thing. Everybody wants to go out to lunch to drop these bombs, like all the time. Awful. The employer wants to take the employee out and go out to lunch and let him go. You know, it's really uncomfortable. Like, you're in public, people can make a scene. It's kind of weird. And then it's like, when do you do it? So you're going out to lunch. Do you do it before you order? Do you do it after you order? And what are you talking about before you order? You know, like,
you know
they're
what,
going,
though? Yeah. I got to say something. The breakups I've had, I never thought of this, but this moment's occurring to me. The breakups I've had over the phone, I feel much better about the ones that happened in person. I feel a little guilty and, like, unfinished and not closed and cheap doing it over the phone. And it just feels not right.
There you go. All right, so when you're 13, what do? You ride your zipper scooter over the Chuck E. Cheese, and you hop in that big bin of balls, and you go, listen, we need to talk.
You dive under the balls and go, I'm embarrassed, I can't talk about it.
It's easy to break. Look, here's the other thing you can do to break up. Start cycling down a little bit. Like, instead of calling every day, call every other day.
You?
Right. Slow the whole thing down. This has been done to me successfully many times.
Oh.
It really.
That's when you start stalking, Adam. Be serious.
Or burning their kitchens down. Also, I think that they have to, like, take the blame for it. Like, oh, I'm just not ready.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
you're
not
so
me.
Great.
It's not you.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm heading into the 7th grade. There's a lot of pressure.
When I get my braces off, we'll talk.
That's right. Literally, I cannot speak with these rubber bands in my mouth. Okay, we're going to take ourselves a final break, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, yo. That's Loveline. Yeah.
I think we will not see each other for quite some time. I think I'm going to be in Toronto when you return from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So have a great trip.
Yeah. Well, call me on my phone, buddy.
All right,
we'll
buddy.
Get caught up.
Good times.
Good times. Dr. Drew in New York, plugging his book, Cracked, and Lights,
Christy,
Camera, Sex.
Christy's been too long. I hope to see you in studio next time.
It's been so long. You're always just so wonderful and friendly. And
God,
like,
bless you.
He really is.
Don't keep talking, Drew's wife's already going to kill him.
No, please.
Yeah,
every 10 years I see him.
That's enough. It's enough for her. She don't need much.
And
she don't need much to build a case on, and Drew doesn't need much to build a dream on. All right. I want to thank engineer Michelle and engineer Anderson and Ann, and I'm hurrying up here. Taryn will call me Tara, goddammit, and Brian and everyone for their... and Junior. I know we're in a hurry. Junior. Producer Lauren for doing a great job all week long. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Oh. We get it. She's a drug-addicted alcoholic whore. Now listen to me.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Well,
she's my daughter.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.